So much to talk about, but nothing to worry about. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Oh, it's a legal matter, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Pete. Greatly appreciate you singing that to me. Pete Townsend, The Who, everybody. There you go. Stop, Pete. At any rate, Roger Stone could be on his way to jail. You know, posting pictures on Instagram of the judge in a federal case when you're out on $250,000 bond, a picture of the judge that includes, you know, a picture of crosshairs, you know, that's probably about as dumb a stunt as I can recall anybody pulling recently, except for maybe the deal in Chicago was small. But these two, they're just stupid behavior. Barbara McQuaid here, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, a professor at the University of Michigan Law School. Barbara, welcome to the conversation.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks.
I think the term reckless and Roger Stone seem to run a little bit together. Nobody likes a smartass, especially a sitting judge, a federal judge in your case. Who would do something that dumb?
Boy, I've never seen anything like it. And not only did he do something so unusual, but he did it in the face of a gag order that was designed to protect his right to a fair trial, the public's right to a fair trial, and the dignity of the court. And to do that just a few days later, I'm not surprised that the judge has called him in for a hearing to answer for it.
If you're going to handicap it, is she going to yank the bail and send him to jail?
If I had a handicap, I'd say no, because to send someone to jail pretrial, you have to show either that they're a danger to the community or a risk of flight. You know, on the danger thing, perhaps by posting something that invites others to consider Judge Jackson a target. But I think the bigger issue here is his failure to comply with the terms of his bond, which includes that gag order. So I predict a stern warning and a more stringent gag order that says he can't talk about the case whatsoever
in any
and
fashion.
Now on a short leash, and anything else could result in yanking his.
There you go. Yeah, shortly. He needs a shock collar. Not a short leash. A shock collar.
Maybe
just my guess. All right. So let me ask you this about. I mean, Roger Stone is a flamboyant figure. He's a loudmouth. He's a guy who loves the attention, and so the gag order is probably killing him. But in fairness, isn't that one of the reasons that Roger Stone ended up in the Mueller investigation in the first place? Just because he is so outspoken and so out there.
So if you look at the indictment itself, it alleges that he specifically engaged in obstructing proceedings by lying, making false statements, and threatening another witness, even threatening to kill him. So I think those are the reasons that he's charged in that case, not because he's flamboyant, but because of his conduct.
Now, before he was indicted and brought to trial here, he said that, you know, he didn't do those things. And after this trial got underway, he said, no. You're asking me to remember emails that I don't remember. His defense is there's a lot of emails. I write a lot. And frankly, he does write a lot of silly things, I'm going to guess. I mean, if you went through his emails, there are literally tens of thousands of them. How strong is this case, I guess, is what I'm driving at.
Yeah, you know, sometimes that is an adequate defense. And false statements and perjury are sometimes some of the hardest charges to prove, because you have to prove not only that the statement was false, but that the person then and there, as they uttered it, knew that it was false. But in the case of Roger Stone, the indictment indicates some of the bases for the charges, including an exchange where he was asked whether he had ever exchanged text messages with a particular individual. He said no, and according to the indictment, that very day before coming to court, he had exchanged 30 text messages with that individual. And so to say that I didn't remember or I've never done that seems a little far-fetched. And so although I'm sure you could say I can't remember every email I've ever sent, I'd exchange 30 text messages with someone on the same day. It seems highly probable that I would remember that. And, you know, a jury is asked not to read someone's mind, but to use common sense to draw reasonable inferences. And I think most jurors would draw the inference that he knew that he was lying at the moment he uttered those words.
All right, let me ask you about something else that's just been in the news, and I'm just curious what your take is. Barbara McQuaid here, former U.S. attorney. And so I'll ask you to keep that hat on for the Eastern District of Michigan. You're now a professor at the University of Michigan as well. As you watch Andy McCabe go out there on his book tour and say, well, you know, the inspector general, he's got it wrong. I've never seen anything like this. Try to impugn the integrity of the inspector general, Michael Horowitz, basically saying that, you know, he didn't lie and the FBI got it wrong and he should have been fired. And he was only fired because Donald Trump didn't like the fact that he opened the investigation. Andy McCabe seems to be wandering around in a minefield with James Comey and Rod Rosenstein and frankly himself. What do you make of this?
Well, I think we need to look at each one of these things. One, the Inspector General to me has a lot of credibility, and if the Inspector General makes a finding, I think it's highly probable that it's accurate. You know, it's not in a vacuum. He has a lengthy report where he details all of his findings and the basis for them, and so I tend to believe the findings of the Inspector General that he lacked candor and that he lied under oath. Now, that doesn't mean that everything he ever says is itself a lie. So as a prosecutor, normally when someone is telling you something, you want to see how it lines up with other information. Is there corroboration for what he's saying? Is it consistent with what you're hearing from other people? And is it consistent with physical evidence? And so based on those things, I don't throw out everything that he has to say. And in fact, it does line up with other things we know about the appointment of the special counsel, the firing of Jim Comey, and other things. And so I'd rather see him eat those lies and say, yeah, you know, here's what happened. Here's my story. I mean, I think he directed someone to provide background information to the press. I don't know that that's the crime of the century, and I don't know that it's a fireable offense. And so the firing on the eve of his pension strikes me as an extraordinary remedy for what he had done. And so
it was recommended, however,
separately,
it was his colleagues at the FBI that recommended his termination. And so at the time, Jeff Sessions, then Attorney General, followed through on the recommendations of his colleagues, career FBI agents. Last question. We only got about 30 seconds here, so real quick, but do you think the Mueller investigation is winding down?
I don't know. You know, you hear reports of that, but it seems like there's so many loose ends. I can't imagine it's going to end in the next weeks. The grand jury was extended till June. I think it'll wrap up before then.
All right. Well, I greatly appreciate it, Barbara. Very, very informative. Great conversation. Good having you here. Look forward to doing it again.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve.
There you have it. Barbara McQuaid, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan and a professor at the University of Michigan Law School. Very calm, very sober, very analytical view of the world, and I appreciate that, bringing common sense and sanity to an otherwise insane world. We'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.